Okay, a bonus round for folks. You haven't been available to do a lot of these recordings lately because you've been so engrossed in research about the heart. Can you give us an update on what you're finding? And tell us why you're researching the heart.
Well, I don't really know. I was moved by the Spirit to just investigate the heart. Of course, you know, I worked with Ralph Marinelli and Barnwell, John Barnwell, and many others, Bronco First and many others, Ralph's son, who was a heart doctor, and found that the heart wasn't a pump, because Rudolf Steiner had said, you shouldn't believe the heart's a pump. It's not a machine. It's something different. So Ralph worked on that. And so recently I just said, I have to study this. And so I started studying it, and it has blown my mind. Blown my mind. Shall I give him a little taste?
Yeah, I mean, might as well, because when you finally come out with this new piece, it's going to be so unusual and different. Folks need to have a little something to hang their hat on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So Rudolf Steiner talks about two vortexes that meet in the heart, one from above, one from below, and one brings love from above and wisdom from below, and that there are different speeds, and that different speed causes the axis of the heart. Now, you can say, you know, apex of the heart, axis of the heart. How does it create an axis to the depolarization of the heart as it contracts and expands, so on and so forth? Okay, fine, but let's look at the fetal heart. The fetal heart is exactly 45-degree angle. Well, the angle of the earth is 23 degrees, so it isn't the angle of the earth. So where does this angle come from? And then you find that as the child gets just a little bit older, it usually kind of ranges between 30 to 90 degrees in a certain quadrant of the way that they look at the beating of the heart, right? So they have an infant. They put this, basically, it's an electrocardiogram. And just in a few minutes, a person who's good at it can tell you whether they're the angle of their heart and which way the angle of the heart inclines. And they can tell you which of the quadrants it fits in. And then if they do a little bit more study and they literally listen to the flow of the blood through a device that they put on your wrist, like a watch, for a whole day, they put it in a computer, they analyze it, they can tell you how old you're going to live and what you're going to die from, because just like the Chinese acupuncturists feel the pulse by your wrist, and they feel three levels of it, that's what this phone does. And so they can tell your heart rate variability. And your heart rate variability has been shown to be just absolutely amazingly accurate. They can diagnose with this, and they can diagnose from the moment of birth. They can even diagnose in utero. So if the child's heart is not at 45 degrees, if it ranges anywhere up to 80 degrees into one particular quadrant, then that child's going to have a heart disorder. If it ranges down into 30, they're going to probably have a liver disorder. So they can literally tell what organ. I don't just mean in general. I mean very specifically. So the question would be, how is it that the heart knows this? How is it that the heart, and what is it that makes the heart beat, as we'd call it? And then you look into these two little tiny nodes and then some nerves in the heart, and somehow they make the heart contract because there's an electrical impulse that comes from the flowing blood. Well, we've shown that that's a magnetohydrodynamic generator.
And it's more of a whoosh than a beat.
Oh, it's three.
And how does it go? There's
whoosh,
three,
whoosh.
Yeah, so three whooshes.
It's Tell three us, vortexes.
And what about the story of the time that you showed the doctors where the three whooshes were?
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny. The whole story is funny.
And, okay, well, we'll save it for another day.
No, I can. I don't know if John Barnwell was there in that room at this for this particular one, but he studied and was part of Ralph's team more than I was. I was an active Waldorf teacher, and he would meet with Ralph. I'd meet them on a semi-regular basis. Plus, I met Ralph and all the time because he was connected to the school. He was on the board, and I would meet him all the time. But anyway, when Ralph finished his class, I said to him, you are a United States Army head of their engineering division for a number of years. So you have to do what Rudolf Steiner said, prove the heart's not a pump. And every time I see you, I'm going to say, have you proven the heart's not a pump? And if you haven't, I'm going to put an X on your arm and I'm going to punch you really hard. He thought I was kidding. I'd punch him. Eventually, after a few years, and him and Barnwell and a few of us, me on the outskirts, I wasn't really a principal thinker in this, They came up with that, but also the flow of the blood and the way that the blood spirals, and the blood spiraling through the aorta creates an amazing phenomena. He demonstrated really that the heart is not a pump. But then after he did that...
If anybody wants to see that, if you go to YouTube, our old channel, the American Intelligence Media, and you put that in there, we have it. It's Ralph Marinelli. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not another myth. It is a reality. Scientific American was one of the articles was there. They eventually tried to write Ralph out of some of this because he passed on, and also he wasn't a doctor. But his son, I forget his first name, Dr. Marinelli, that's not the same as Ralph. Ralph was the funniest, most wonderful, warm man I've ever
met. Get to the point about the three wishes.
Swishes. Okay, we're down at the biggest hospital, research hospital in Michigan that I know of. And Ralph has them down there, and he has these doctors fascinated because he's pointing out that if this is the apex of the heart, why is it so thin? It can't be a pump if that's so thin. And they'd all go, huh? And they'd look in the textbooks, and they'd go, well, it all shows it thick in the textbooks. I said, but all of you know it's thin. So he gets all these animal hearts, sheep hearts, all these hearts from the slaughterhouse right down the street. And he brings them in, and he does Doppler on them. He does all this analysis, and these doctors are like, oh my gosh, they can't believe that they're learning from a guy who knows nothing about the heart, just showing them on their equipment. So he brings me in one time because he wants to ask me this strange question. They can't understand this anomaly in the Doppler. And he wanted to show me the work anyway. Well, I said, I'm not looking at any, I don't want to look at any cut out hearts and things like that. So anyway, I come and I'm looking at the oscilloscope, and they're showing me a Doppler of an active heart. And I'm going, well, this is beautiful. You found all three vortexes. And they said, what three vortexes? And I said, well, right there on your Doppler screen. Can't you see? And I was in the military. I knew oscilloscopes backwards and forwards. So I said, do you mind if I mess with your oscilloscope? And I messed with it. And their three peaks showed up, and they went, now, listen, y'all, what are you, deaf? There's three swishes. Swish, swish, swish. There's three vortices. There aren't two, because they had decided it was a vortex momentum booster. Well, that made it just simply a hydraulic ram. Well, I wasn't satisfied with that myself. And so when he told me that's where they were going, I'm like, no, you're missing something. So anyway, they found that there were three vortices, but they couldn't find the third vortice. So Ralph found it. He found it in the aorta leaving the left ventricle. It has this flame coming off of it practically, and it spins in this fantastic way that starts the spinning in the blood that sends it all the way out to the capillaries of the body. Anyway, so what I have found is way beyond just this modern research. They come up with all this great stuff, but what does it mean? How is it that your karma is written into your heart? How can that be? Is that a mechanism that can be understood with our little cognitive minds? That's what I'm working on. It's already, it's already 85 pages or so. And I hope that it's going to reveal some of the secrets of the heart that Rudolf Steiner gave, but it's going to reveal the fifth, sixth, and seventh chambers of the heart, which are supposed to be the ultimate secret of spiritual science.